I'm glad we all found our way. We've been talking about the church, and we've talked about the duties of the pastor, we've talked about the duties of the deacons, and I'd like to speak about the general duties of the church members today. Now, I had a thought, and I know you've probably heard this, just in life. I had a lady tell me just this week, she said, "I can worship God anywhere." And I, on one level, agree with that, because I've shouted in my truck talking to the Lord and listening to sermons while I was by myself. And when I was on the tractor, I'd do it, you know, out in the middle of a field somewhere, just crying, and because of the blessings that I rejoiced in at that moment. Just communing with the Lord. But that's not the way that the Lord intended for His people to worship. Not the only way. The way that He does that is He set up His church. And we know what He told Peter, that this church is set up and made on the confession and the revelation. Not only the revelation that Jesus is the Christ by the Father, but He builds His church on that and the confession that Peter made. You know, it takes a confession. You can think about it all you want, and you'll be in the revelation that Jesus is the Christ may be on you, but if the church is built up on those two things, the revelation that He's the Christ and the confession that He is the Christ. Amen. Now, as the, you know, what's the purpose of the church? I mean, that's a whole nother sermon, but the purpose of the church, Paul says, he says, "I hope to come to you shortly," in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 15, or 14. But in 15 he says, "But if I tarry long," that means if I'm writing this to you, Timothy, hoping to come to you shortly, "but if I tarry long, or if I don't come when I think I'm coming, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Amen. You know, you can worship the Lord. I've worshiped the Lord when I'm enjoying His outdoors. But that's not God's intended way to worship. That's right. His intended way to worship is with the saints in the house of God. And the house of God is, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Not a truth, the truth. Now, the pillar and ground of it means that it both supports the truth and it holds it up. And it is founded in the truth. So it's both the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's founded on the truth, and it also holds it up. Now, the Apostle Paul talked a lot about the body, and I'm not going to get into that today, probably. But he says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 25 that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So there's members of a church. If there were no members there would be no local body, would there be? Now, 1 Corinthians 13:13, Paul says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." And of course, you know, that's love in action. That's love indeed. Now, I'm saying all this to start on the duties. But John 13:34, we know Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." How did the Lord love us? Did he just say he loved us? Or did he show that he loved us? He did something to prove it, didn't he? He did more than one thing to prove it. He left the shining realms of heaven to take on flesh, the likeness of sinful flesh. Can y'all, I can't even put this into words, because we don't know what it's like to be in heaven. We've had little glimpses of it here to a small degree, but we have no idea what it's like to be sinless. But I can try to illustrate it. It's not a good illustration, but it's the best I got. I want you to imagine that you are a billionaire. No, let's go higher than that. Let's say trillionaire. I don't think there ever has been a trillionaire. Maybe Solomon, I don't know. And you leave all that to become destitute, homeless, dirty, and you trade places. There was a movie about that, I think, at one time, Trading Places. I don't know if it's a good movie or not. I ain't seen it in forever. And you trade places with a destitute man, and you gave up your $1 trillion and you gave it to him, and he is now sitting in your house, and you are on the streets, homeless. Y'all remember that portion of scriptures in Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul says, "You know the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be made rich." Boy, that'll preach all day long, every day, won't it? That's talking about the substitutionary sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for the sins of his people and for on their behalf. And it was really an unfair exchange from our perspective. Why in the world, if you were homeless and had destitute and had nothing, why in the world would you think that somebody came and gave you $1 trillion and gave you a house and gave you all these wonderful things, and then he just took whatever you had? From our perspective, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Why in the world would you do that? Well, the reason why he did it was because he loved you. don't understand that kind of love. Do you?
No.
I can't fathom the depths of that love. And as members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do everything that we do because of that love. And everything that He called us to do has love as its basis. If you go to 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love chapter, isn't it? And he talks about charity. And he talks about, I could give my, Paul says, I could take my, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. He also said, though I had all faith. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? That's amazing. Do you have all faith? I mean, do you exercise all faith in all things all the time? That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? But Paul says, if I do that and don't have charity, I am nothing. I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Empty. It makes a big noise, but it has no potency to it. That's all it is a noise. You know, thunder don't hurt you, does it? It might scare you, but it don't hurt you. Lightning gets the job done. Now, Paul says, I want y'all to think about this. We're not even going to scratch the surface of my subject today. I want y'all to think about this. Paul said, though I sold everything I had and give it to the poor and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Did he do a good work in selling all that he had and give it to them? Would it benefit the poor? Sure it would. It would benefit the poor. But if you don't do it with charity, it profiteth me nothing. Did y'all know that charity is not giving? If it was, giving would profit you. It's the attitude that you do give, with which you do give. It's your motivation. Did y'all know, I could put it this way, charity is the ground that the fruit of the Spirit grows in. Everything we do as members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is rooted in charity. And without it, we're just spinning our wheels. We're not going anywhere. We might do some things, but it's not going to profit us anything. So, the duties of the church members are all on the example of Jesus Christ. He's the reason why we do everything we do. And all the duties of the church members must be performed from the standpoint of love. Every one of them. Not only first of God, and then of each other. Because if you love God with your whole heart, you're going to love everybody. You're going to love those that love God. And you ought to be kind to your enemies even, that don't. Now, Acts 6. Let's turn over there. Acts chapter 6. Because I'm going to start now. I don't even know why I went there. Oh, yeah, I do. We talked about this with the deacons. There was a problem. And it's the duty of the church to minister to the needs of the body. You know, the widows were neglected in a daily ministration. It's the duty of the church to minister to the needs of the body. And we ought not to look, and if y'all look at the historical things that have happened in America, y'all know before the Depression, the church took care of not only the local body, but those without. And after the institution of welfare, the church willingly gave up its duty to take care of those that were less fortunate, and the government was happy to take it over. They were happy to take it over. And the church was happy to let them. And that was a dereliction of the church's duty to do that. And now we've gotten to the point where the church doesn't think it's obligated to do any of that. In a big umbrella, I'm talking about church. Isn't that sad? That's sad. Brother Denny mentioned the reason, or that his family and the church would be full if all of our families were here, wouldn't it? My friends, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has things for you. It has blessings for you. It has responsibilities for you. Not allowing other parachurch organizations to take over the duties that we're supposed to do, that we're supposed to have. I got a lot of other thoughts on that, but let's turn over to James chapter 1. This is the ministering of the body. It's the church's responsibility. James says in verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity or excess of naughtiness." Did y'all know the Bible used the word naughty? Don't be naughty. My grandma used to use that word for talking about us all the time. "And receive with meekness the engrafted word." Well, you know, the Lord engrafts that word in you.
That's right.
And he says, receive it. That means hear what he says. Perceive what he says. It's in you. Believe it. It's in you. Follow it. It's in you. Receive it. Now, which is able to save your souls. That's not talking about from hell to heaven. That's talking about right now.
Amen.
That's talking about receive that word. Listen to what I say. And there is life in it. Not eternal life, but abundant life. That's doing what God said and being obedient to His commands. Now, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Y'all, I looked at myself in the morning and I can't remember all the blemishes exactly where they're at. But I need to always remember my blemishes. I need to remember what kind of man I am. I don't need to think of myself higher than I ought to. I don't need to forget that. And none of us need to forget our blemishes. None of us need to think that we're higher than anyone else. How many times have y'all heard somebody say, "Man, I'm glad I'm not like that"? Yeah. Be careful. I mean, I'm glad I don't do some of the things that other people do.
That's right.
But to say you're glad you're not like them, be careful, because you might be really close to becoming a Pharisee. Didn't a Pharisee say that about the publican? He said, "Lord, I thank you that I tithe, I fast, I do all the things that I'm supposed to do. And I'm glad I'm not like this poor publican over here. I deserve for you to bless me because I'm so good."
Right.
And the poor publican didn't forget his face and what he saw when he looked in the mirror, did he?
No.
The poor publican smote. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he smote on his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I'm not even going to get started scratching the surface of this. Did you know that the Syrophoenician woman, who was not a Jew, came up and begged the Lord to give her to heal her daughter? And Jesus told her, "It is not meet or fit to take the children's meat or food and give it unto dogs." Do you know that Jesus called her a dog? You know what she said? She said, "Truth, Lord." She owned her dogness. And she said, "That's true. Yet the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Don't forget who you are. Don't get on a high horse. Don't even buy one. Love. He says, "But whoso looketh into the law, the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." That means you're looking into the perfect law of liberty and doing the work, not just a hearer. This man shall be blessed in his deed. That means doing. You're blessed in the doing. You're not blessed by the doing.
Amen.
Y'all got it? How many times have you gone to visit someone in the hospital? Did y'all know? I didn't even think about that. That's not just the pastor's responsibility. Did y'all know that? Sometimes we look at the pastor, and so many people all over the world look at their pastor and say, that's on him. That's his job to visit. And it is. They're right. It is the pastor's job to do that. But just because it's his job, that doesn't mean it releases you from doing the same thing. Now, he says, if any man among you seem to be religious, I think all of y'all are religious, and bridleth not his tongue. That came up in a conversation earlier this week. But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Do y'all know what a bridle is? Y'all see the old westerns where they have the horses and then they take that bit and they put it in the horse's mouth. That's got to be uncomfortable, don't it? That's got to be tough. And the reason why they put that in there is so they can turn him and control him wherever he goes, wherever they want him to go. Y'all, I'm full of stories. I want to tell y'all a story about bridling or not bridling your tongue. I had moved down to Mississippi to a little small town called Louisville. And as a therapist, I was working at a private outpatient clinic. I was the only OT there. Small town, not many therapy opportunities, not many choices. And so one of the first few weeks we were there, Sonia and I were, and I was already, you know, I was already introducing services and trying, you know, exercising. And anyway, so we went to the movie theater on Thursday night. Six people, three couples, six people in the movie theater, the whole movie theater. That's how little the town was. I mean, it was probably like, oh, it was bigger than Como, I guess. Way smaller than McKenzie. And we came out of the movie, and there was this couple, and he says, I haven't seen y'all before. Are y'all from here? I said, no, we're not from here. We told him we moved down here from Tennessee, from Columbus, Mississippi. And he said, what do you do? I said, I'm an occupational therapist. He says, oh, do you work at the hospital? And I had an unbridled tongue. Y'all don't have no idea. I used to be really rough. I had no filter. And I said, I worked for a hospital one time and I promised God Almighty that I would never, ever do that anymore. This is going over Facebook. Do y'all forgive me of all you therapists that work in a hospital? And I said, all that hospital therapy is Hummers. They hot pack, ultrasound, and massage. That's all they do. Every session, that's all they do. And it's not good care. Because I was trying to promote myself and promote, you know. I said, "Where do you work?" He said, "I'm the administrator of the hospital." That was my moment. That was my moment. When I felt like I had degraded my God. Because I said, if I'm saying that I'm a minister and I'm standing in God's name on Sunday and I'm doing this, I'm disparaging, I'm dragging God's name through the mud because of my tongue and what I, and how I present Him, because I am an ambassador of Christ. I don't think we think about what comes out of our mouths sometimes. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. One of the duties of church members is to take care of its members. And to take care of yourself. The bridling of the tongue is just, that's a duty of a child of God. You don't have to be a church member to be worried about bridling your tongue. And we don't have to be church members to consider ourselves as needing to be unspotted from the world. But if you are a church member, you ought to be definitely about those things. Now, it is a duty of the church to take care of its members first. That means the physical needs. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians, well, we ought to take care of our members first. And then if we're able to, we ought to care for those without. Because that's an outreach, isn't it? Didn't Jesus go to sinners? Did he stay with the religious elite? No. He called them vipers, didn't he? He said, "You're full of dead men's bones. Your mouth is an open sepulcher." No, he went to the poor, the maimed, the lame and the blind. He went to the lepers. And he preached the gospel to the poor. And that's what we ought to be doing. Now, I can't heal a leper. I can't make a blind man see. Only the power of God can do that. But we ought to visit them in their affliction. Now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. I'm going to turn over there. So the Apostle Paul says Oh, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Did I say 1 Corinthians? I meant 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul says in verse 7, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." And he's talking about giving. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." How many of y'all are sincere about helping people? I mean, in your heart, you know you need to do it, and you're sincere. Paul says it takes more than sincerity of love. It takes the proving of it. "Now, for ye know..." Y'all listen to this. We've already mentioned it once today. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be also a performance also out of that which ye have." Do y'all know, preachers? I've heard preachers take that, take this verse, and like I said, it'll preach all day long that though he was rich, yet he became poor. Did you know that this is smack dab in the middle of talking about giving and helping the poor and ministering to the saints and support of the church and support of the ministry? But I don't ever hear folks that use that verse talk about that context of it, but that's the context that Paul wrote that in. And yeah, it'll preach on its own, but in the context, he's talking about, listen, the reason why we do this is because look at what the Lord did for you. Amen. Look at where he came from and what he exchanged and what you got in exchange for that. He's the motivation for which we do everything in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and in our lives. Jesus is our great example, isn't he? When someone reviled him, when they spit on him, what did he do? Did he spit back on them? No, he didn't. When they wagged their head at him and said, "If you're the Christ, come down off that cross." Did he prove that he was the Christ that way to them? No, he didn't. It was love that kept him on that cross. It was not, he didn't have to prove that he was the Christ that way. They wouldn't have believed it anyway. They didn't believe it even though he rose from the dead, which proved that he was the very Christ. On top of all the other works that proved he was the Christ. You know, they said, "Tell us plainly." I don't see how much plainer he could have gotten. Amen. Tell us plainly if you're the Christ. Jesus said, "I've done all the works and you didn't believe it. I've cured a man that was born blind. I've touched a leper." Did y'all know that those lepers, that leprosy was such a communicable disease? It was so easily spread that when the lepers, when the priest declared that somebody was a leper, they had to be thrust out of their community. Social distancing and quarantining is not a new thing. They had to make themselves live in their own leper colony with other lepers like them. And Jesus saw some lepers one day, and he walked up to them and he touched him. That's amazing. You know, those lepers, when they to keep their distance, and just in case somebody else might have been around the corner, they had to walk around with their finger over their lip crying, "Unclean, unclean." Yeah. Not "I tithe." Not "I'm so good." Unclean, unclean. Jesus walked up to him and touched him. And he didn't get leprosy. But he healed the one that had it. That's amazing, isn't it? The power of God. And because of that power, he told us to go and do likewise. Treat people the way I treated them. He says, "For if there first be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." That means if you're able to give and help somebody financially, do it. If you can't financially, figure out how you can. Paul says, now this really matters. He says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want." Because you might be poor one day and they might be rich. And if you bless them when they're down, they'll bless you when you're down. You got it? Equality. He's not talking about everybody being on the same exact level. He's talking about if you've got something that somebody needs, don't withhold it because of greed or whatever. If you're able to help, help. Now, but we should always do good to those that... Well, he goes back and cites about the manna. He says, "As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." Now, but we should always do good to those that are without, meaning those that are not members of the local body. And even those that are just your neighbor and you don't know whether they're a child of God or not. Why is that? Why are we supposed to love our enemies? Because Jesus did. Because when we were enemies, he loved us while we were yet enemies. We didn't get good enough for him to love us, did we? Paul talks about that in Romans 5. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. So, you know... Have y'all ever heard it said, God helps those that help themselves? Have you said it? Really? I mean, now, God does give us blessings and he expects us to use them. But he doesn't wait for us to get good enough to deserve his love. Do we treat people that way? Pretty harsh things in this Bible, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Hard things.
Hard things to be understood.
Hard things. And hard things to do.
Yes.
You know, when the multitude was there hoping that the Lord would feed them, Jesus started talking about some hard stuff. And it says some of his disciples, the multitude went away and his disciples followed him no more. His disciples did that. Now, not the apostles, but some other disciples that were following him, they left. Why did they leave? Because they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Did y'all know that God will get in your face? And it'll be uncomfortable for you.
That's right. Amen.
He'll tell you how to live. He'll tell you how to deal with your money. He'll tell you how to treat people. He'll tell you the behavior that he accepts and the things that he doesn't. He'll tell us about how we're living. In his word does that. And it's hard to hear some days, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's hard to hear.
It's true.
When he says to a preacher, one that desires an office of a bishop, desires a good work, good office. But there are some qualities that man's got to possess. Now, I'm not going back and rehashing the duties of a pastor now, but it says, one that ruleth his own house well. His children are in subjection. Is God not getting in his face? If a man is blessed and has a desire to preach and doesn't possess that quality and is not doing that, God's already gotten his face and said, look, I'm not giving you a place to sit. I'm not giving you that because you're not demonstrating that you are doing what I said. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard. Now, it doesn't mean that their children are going to listen to everything that they tell them. Doesn't mean that. But he's trying. He's doing his best. He's not letting them run amok. Basically, he didn't cite that there, but he could have cited Eli and his children, Hophni and Phinehas. Y'all remember that? How many of y'all know what happened to Hophni and Phinehas or what they were doing? They was doing some heinous things in the temple of God and Eli didn't reprimand them for it. I got one more. Well, let me finish this one. Okay. Paul says, let us in Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
Y'all want to have a great church? Y'all want to have just a hallelujah good time? If you plant corn, you ain't going to reap potatoes.
Amen.
Brother Billy, he knows about it. How many of y'all have a garden? I quit because my stuff won't grow in that nasty ground.
That's why I never started.
But I love it though.
Yeah.
But I never have planted a tomato and picked okra off the vine. It's simple, isn't it? The Bible's simple. He says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, I find it funny that he says God is not mocked in that. Ooh, it's time to quit. He said God is not mocked. Why did he bring that up? Because some people think that God ain't going to do what he said he was going to do. They don't believe God. I'm not saying they don't believe in God, in his presence and existence, but they don't believe what he said. Now, God's going to make good on every promise that he ever made.
Amen.
To the positive and to the negative.
Amen.
He said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat of the good of the land. But if you rebel, you're going to be cursed. Your life will be cursed with things. And I want to tell you today, don't mock God. Understand that God is faithful to perform every promise that he ever gave. Now he says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You know, birds of a feather flock together, don't they? But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That's another duty of church membership, is to do good unto all men, not just the members of the church. Not just your family, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That means you do it to them first. And he says, as we therefore have opportunity. I got to quit, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to the next one, but I want to tell you this. There was a preacher friend of mine, we all know him. Well, I don't mind telling you who it was. It was Elder Danny Farrell. And he was at the grocery store. And there was a lady in front of him that had her kid, you know, had a one in diapers and one in the, you know, in the seat there, 2-year-old or whatever, and she was buying groceries. And she looked like she was struggling. And she said, oh my goodness, I've got to put all these back. I left my purse at home. And Brother Danny said, I hesitated. He said, I thought about whether I ought not to help her or not. And he said, and there was this brother behind me, and he just gave the lady a $100 bill or paid for her groceries. And he didn't even question it. And Brother Danny said, that wounded me so bad that I had the opportunity and I missed it. I missed it. And he said, I really let God down. And he whooped me up really bad over it. Because I had the opportunity and I didn't take it. I pray that God gives us courage.
Amen.
To walk through the doors that he opens.
Amen.
The doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to be confess the Lord Jesus Christ and come and be part of our little family here at Union. May God bless you is my prayer.